Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Nice to be back with you during regular programming time. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And today I want to talk to you about something that we've been doing some research on, which is kind of remarkable. I've been getting calls and a lot of people have asked questions about this whole thing with Bernie Madoff. And it's something about it that I understand that you may not understand, and then I'm going to take that on to talking about you. This was not such a big, huge deceit. It was the deceit that was based on simply a fact that everybody gets a statement at the end of a month, and they get a statement, and the statement tells you something, and you trust it. If your bank says to you, you have $100 plus $2 in interest, you trust it. You have $102 in the bank. You never ask yourself, show me the $102. You don't do that to the bank. You just say, okay, I have $102. Well, since you did maybe $2, I'll give you another $100 of mine. Maybe you'll make me $4. And that's what everybody did with Bernie Madoff. And I know many people who were indirectly involved through charities, through trusts, and so on and so forth. So when it got exposed, it was like it's not such that he was such an immense fraud. All he did was falsify the statements that were sent out, because we have no idea how many statements that are sent out are falsified. If you have an investment in a mutual fund, does your mutual fund tell you the truth? Does anybody tell you the truth? How are you supposed to know? So a lot of people started blaming the victims. And they said, you know, the victims should have looked better, because there were many of us who were skeptical. There were us who were skeptical up in Boston, and we were skeptical about Bernie Madoff the whole way. And we said, I'm skeptical, and nobody paid attention. Well, it's like saying you'd be skeptical of the bank, which by now we know you could be skeptical of the bank or of your brokerage house or somebody who sends you a statement, or your insurance company, or whoever sends you a statement saying this is where whatever you think you have is. Skepticism is not a sign of health. There is healthy skepticism. But there are two ways to do it. There's either one way, which is to say, I trust on some level, and there are certain standards I'm going to have for my trust. Number one, I'm going to believe that the organization I am invested with, or the people that I trust, are trustworthy, having had a history of trustworthiness. Well, Bernie Madoff certainly had a history of trustworthiness. He had no history of not trustworthiness. I'm going to also make sure that other people I know feel that he's trustworthy. So, like, if you go see a doctor, for example, and you're going to do surgery, you ask your friends, have anybody had surgery with this doctor? Or you find out if he's done the operation on other people, and you check with them. So in order to trust, very often you'll go to validate. And, of course, if you went to Bernie Madoff, you were validated by everyone who said, oh, he's such a good guy. So if you did those steps, how much of a fool could you have been to have been fooled by this thing, which was that happened, which is going to be just the tip of the iceberg, because I'm sure we're going to find that many other organizations overstate what the truth is. Now, why would we have built a system where people tell us things that aren't true? This is the question that I'm asking. There's a, and again, we could look for this Bernie Madoff phenomena, which is, I believe, the beginning phenomenon, which is the beginning of a phenomena, which is, means that there are many of these running around. But looking at a comparative survey of primitive behavior, Richard Byrne and Nadja Korp of the University of St. Andrews in Scotland, they found a direct correlation between deceitfulness and brain size. The larger the average volume of a species' neocortex, the newest highly developed region of the brain, the greater the chance of deceit. And to give you an example, a monkey or ape would pull a stint like this one described in The New Scientist, a young baboon being chased by an enraged mother intent on punishing the young baboon, suddenly stopped in pursuit, stood up and began scanning the horizon intently, an act that conveniently distracted the entire baboon troop into preparing for non-existent intruders. You know, did you ever do that? Somebody's looking at you and you suddenly look behind you. But that kind of thing, baboon did that. And they were shocked to see the baboon did it as a way of escaping his own punishment. And a lot of evidence suggests that we humans, with our densely corrugated neocortex, lie to one another chronically and easily. Almost as if there's a reason to do it. Not only on the side of we who lie, but on the side of those who receive the lies. Bella DiPaolo, a visiting professor of psychology at the University of California, Santa Barbara, asked 77 college students and 70 people from the community to keep anonymous diaries for a week and note how and why they tell lies. And these are, they found from the results that almost everybody told a lie once or twice a day. So I want you listening to think of a lie that you may tell once or twice every day. Now, we may say that a lie could be something like, you know, we put on makeup. Is that a lie? It could be. A lie could be that we are, we're telling people we're a different age than we are. A lie could be that we're telling people we're richer than we are, or that we have more sexual prowess than we do. Whatever it is, there is some kind of lie that we may be telling. Can you think of any lie? Or maybe it's an actual verbal lie. Maybe it's actually something you say every day. Is it a lie to say to someone, how are you feeling? And they say, fine. Is that word fine, is that a lie when you're not feeling fine? So here comes our question. Not only are we concerned about whether or not we lie, but the other concern is it important to people to have us lie? Is there some part of us that wants to be deceived? A very good question. Let me give you another thought about it. Imagine if instead of being the victim of some kind of fraud from someone, we spent our time checking out everything. And people said that Bernie Madoff, people should have checked out Bernie Madoff and his facts. And they said, you should have checked, you should have looked more closely. And when he said, I mean, they're in effect, they were saying, when he said, I made you $20,000 today, you should have gone there and said, show me the money. Right? And he should have pulled out $20,000 and shown it to you. I mean, of course, that would have never happened. So what responsibility do you have? But is there a reason why we want to welcome people's lies? Do we want to believe things that are being told to us? And, you know, let's not kid about it, but why do we tell children about Santa Claus? Right? Why do we do it? Why do we say Santa Claus is here and Santa Claus is going to bring you gifts? What is it about that is to that child that is more thrilling than saying Daddy's going to buy you gifts at Christmas? What is it about this? Now, can we say, oh, it's wrong. I would never tell my child there's a Santa Claus. Well, I don't know. How about Jesus? How about God? How about if you believe that they are lies and you believe that they're not truth, how do you sell them anyway? Why do we want to believe in a religion? Why do we want to believe in Santa Claus? Why do we want to believe in Batman? You know, why do we want to believe in superheroes? Why do we want to believe in good? What is it about us that needs to believe? Well, you know, it makes a lot of sense. One of the things I want to believe is I want to believe that people are basically good so that I could relax. If I don't believe people are good, I'm paranoid all the time. If I believe that people are evil and have evil intent, I'm walking around suspicious all the time. I'm tense. I'm spending all my time checking under every crack, you know, looking under every pea, saying, is there somebody here who wants to hurt me? It is exhausting to be suspicious. So I say I'll trust something. Here's the way I figure it. I figure, well, I'm big enough that nothing's going to kill me, so I'll just go around trusting everything so that if I get hurt, I'll recover. That's one way of going through life. Is it crazy to be that way? Being overly suspicious is almost as bad as being a psychopathic liar. You have to spend all your time, you know, doing one or another. You know, either you're checking for deceit all the time. Let's talk about whistleblowers, you know, the great whistleblowers of our society, of our world. Well, there are some whistleblowers who are great, and they just got out there. They made movies. Mike did, you know, fabulous movies about the corruption in the healthcare system and corruption, so on and so forth. We have whistleblowers everywhere, but we have many whistleblowers who are very crazy. I see many whistleblowers who are pure, almost pure schizophrenic. They believe they see a plot. And so they talk about the plot of the world and the plot of the society, and unfortunately, they believe their wives are plotting, their children are plotting, their dogs are plotting. So the fact that somebody is suspicious is not a sign of maturity and good health. The fact that somebody is totally unsuspicious is not a sign of maturity and good health. But there is some part of us that wants to believe that the world is okay and benign. We want to have good daddies and mommies out there. We want to believe that daddy's going to take care of us, you know, in some form or other. We want to believe the government is going to protect us. We want to believe truth is going to will out. We want to believe. We don't want to be suspicious. But of course, then there are those of us who have nothing to do other than be suspicious. Their entire lives are about being suspicious. And neither one is wrong, my friends. It turns out that in our culture, there's a division of people who are developed at different levels. Just as we have different kind of ants in a colony or bees in a colony, and you have worker bees, and you have baby bees, and you have mama bees, and you have bees who are building the honeycomb, and you have, you know, different kinds of bees, you have different kinds of people. You have some suspicious people and some trusting people. And you have some other people who are hardworking people and some people who are lazy people. And it's all right. It all works out. If you didn't have the people who like to lay back and not work very hard, you wouldn't have a Caribbean that people would go visit. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a place where people can relax a little more than usual. Right? They say it's too hot here to work as hard. If you didn't have people who wanted to work like demons, and, you know, you wouldn't have an industrial society. You wouldn't have all the stuff that we have out here. So we have a balance in the world, and we have people of different kinds. It's not that there is one ethic that everybody should ascribe to. So here we have this problem, my friends. I'm going to ask you for your opinions, too. I'm going to ask for you to call in today, 212-209-2900. One question I have, and I don't want to be talking about Bernie Madoff, of course. I want to talk to you about your need to be deceived on some level. And let's throw out the easy one. The easy one is infidelity and sexual deceit. Let's throw that away. Let's not make that the discussion. That's too easy to do. Because it sounds too much like right and wrong, good and evil. Let's just go to the fact that there's a salesman, you know, who sells you something and you believe he's good. Your dry cleaner who sends you a bill who you don't look at because you think your dry cleaner is trustworthy. You know, the people in your life who you believe are absolutely trustworthy and why you need that in your life. Do you need that? And do you also need to have somebody who is not going to do it? Now, remember, apes do deceive one another. Chimpanzees grin when they're nervous. But when they see a rival male adult, they turn their face and they take their hand and they push their grin down so that they're not grinning, because grinning is means I'm nervous. They don't want the other ape to see that they're nervous. Get this one, it's really fun. Young males could be courting a female, and they could be very excited about getting this little female that they're after, and then they see the alpha male, the big gorilla, who doesn't want to have any competition. And what they do when they see the alpha male, the subordinate monkey, he instantly tries to cloak his amorous intention by dropping his hands over his erection so that he can't be seen as aroused. And nobody could see his arousal because he's afraid that he'll get beat up by the big monkey. Deceit. So we have a part of us that likes to be deceived. Now, we also have a part of us that likes to deceive ourselves. Let's talk about a little bit more research today. They found something called the brain's subconscious visual sense. This is phenomenal. This is, I mean, it's just, you know, 2008, with all the stuff that came with it, science came with it. I mean, really, we learned so much. So much that we attributed to the passions is now explainable in neuroimaging and brain imaging and hormones and medicine. Not medicine as much as, you know, the chemical basis of the body. We've learned a lot. The blind, the man, a doctor left blind by two successive strokes, had two strokes. He refused to take part in an experiment. They had an experiment for it, and they did it. They put him in a cluttered hallway. For the benefit of science, they asked him to walk down this cluttered hallway. And in the cluttered hallway, they had a number of objects. And they had a theory. He objected to it, and finally he agreed to try it, and something remarkable happened. He walked down the hallway, and he avoided every object without touching it. And people said, wait a minute, he can't see. How could he avoid every object? And they said it is because the brain has a subconscious visual sense, a sense inside of us that also sees even if we can't see on the outside. Whoa. Does that mean you hear when you don't hear? You smell when you don't smell? You taste when you don't taste? There's another part of you that's available inside of you on all of these things, and maybe that explains for a lot of things like the lurid dreaming and so on and so forth. It's really fascinating what we're finding out and how this relates to you. I want you to think about things about yourself that you could look at. You could look at yourself and say, I look, I'm okay. And we're going to talk about that wonderful word, anosognosia, which is this inability to perceive if you're sick, if there is something wrong with you. A lot of people deceive themselves, and we think of them as deceiving themselves, but we also learn that there's a good reason not to perceive your own illness. A reason not to perceive it is because it would cripple you if you believed that you were sick. If you believed there was something really wrong with you, you may not move at all. So you deny it. Like if you have a leg that's really hurt, and you want to be able to walk even though your leg hurts, you don't pay attention to it. And by shaking your attention away from it, you deceive yourself into believing you're okay. Now, somewhere down the line, your legs are going to ache a lot more because you didn't pay attention to it. We have the ability to deceive ourselves. We have a desire to be deceived. When people were shown videos of something like 2,000 people who stated facts about themselves, the question was, are they lying or telling the truth? Do you think you would be able to tell, what do you think percentage you would be able to tell, if you were looking at 1,000 people, let's say 100 people, how many do you think you'd be able to peg as telling the truth or telling a lie, and what accuracy rating would you have? What do you think? How accurate would you be? You think if 100 people said to you, I'm Irish. Now, you'd see their face, and you could tell by the characteristics. If somebody said to you, I have a lot of money, no, you'd be able to pick up certain cues. But if there were things that people said to you that you really had to decide whether they were telling the truth or they told a lie. Like yesterday, I woke up and I found $10. Right? It could be anybody saying it. Would you be able to tell if they're telling the truth or a lie? Well, the truth of it is nobody could tell. You couldn't, on average, including psychologists, the most accuracy that people could find was 53%, which is barely significant. It's almost like flipping a coin, meaning that if you wanted to know if somebody was telling you a lie, there's some part of you that does not see the lie. 50% of you. You know, like flipping a coin. So have you ever had that experience? You ever had the experience of why you can deceive yourself? I mean, just look at gambling for a minute. In gambling, we find that people deceive themselves into believing that they are going to win this time around and make up for all their losses. A perfect self-deception. Now, what do we have? We have a government that sells you lottery tickets based on your decision to fool yourself. We say, okay, and I'm not talking about only a government, because I've seen the very best charities sell tickets to things that the odds are so far against you winning. You know, almost everybody uses this ploy. They use your weakness, your propensity to be deceived and to deceive yourself as a way to exploit it for their own benefit. Hey, we're going to take some calls. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Why and what is it about you that finds lying attractive? And how about people who lie to you? Now, don't get on the air and preach to me. Please, I want you to talk about yourself. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand?
Yes.
Good afternoon. I was in another room listening to you, and I said, oh, my God, I must be a lunatic. People lie to me.
Do you have your radio on?
It's in another room.
Yeah, could you go and turn it down? Because believe it or not,
Hold on, I will.
All right, I'll hold on. I'll sing. Will I sing? You see, you could hear that in the other room. Can't you hear it in the other room? All right, now it's quiet over there, and now she's coming back. That was nice. That was fast.
Yes. I was saying to myself when I was listening to you, I must be a lunatic. People deceive me, but I know sometimes I want to be deceived. I want to believe that someone really loves me.
So it's a beautiful thing to believe that somebody really loves you, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Isn't it really nice? I mean, I know people who give money away. And they give money away to people, and the people they give money to look at them and say, oh, thank you so much, I love you so much. And they know they're giving money away and they're getting love. I know people, I know me, I feed a dog, you know, and I feed a dog a biscuit, and the dog looks at me and I say, oh, the dog really loves me, but the dog loves my biscuit.
Yes.
So there's a part of us that does want to believe it. So you're saying love is a key one for you, huh?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's very painful when you start having those reality checks and you say, you know what? Something's wrong with this picture. I'm the only one in love here.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of like get your heart broken and then you move on.
What's your name?
Fran.
Fran, let's try it a different way.
Okay.
How about this? How about Fran is a loner?
Yes.
Fran usually is very comfortable being alone.
Yes.
But every now and then, Fran doesn't want to be alone. So she goes find somebody, and then she makes herself believe that there's this love thing so she could be deeply involved in it for a little while. And then, when she gets tired of the person, she says, well, why was I believing the lie in the first place? In effect, what I'm saying, Fran, is it's highly possible that you use the deception as a way of satisfying yourself and gratifying yourself, because your basic position is to be alone in this world, because it's not such a bad thing. This way you don't have to listen to somebody nagging you.
Gosh, how did you know I was a loner?
What did I say
that gave it away?
You said you had the radio in the other room? No, I don't know. I don't know what it is that you said, but you could tell. You can tell when a person is, very often when a person finds themselves being deceived frequently, they really have a secret intention to be alone. And so, but if you were to expose the intention, then you lose the game, you see? And the game is no longer, oh, I'm really looking for love. I spoke to a woman a little earlier today who said to me, you know, I've been so lucky. She said, I was lucky because I wrote a book and it was published and I wrote this and I did this and I've always been lucky, lucky, except I haven't been lucky in love. Very successful young woman. And I said, well, what makes you say you haven't been lucky in love? Because she said, because I haven't found the right guy. I said, but look at you. If you had found the right guy, you wouldn't be where you are right now, and you're very happy right now. I said, so maybe you've been lucky in love. I said, because everybody I know who eventually falls in love gets all of their progress kind of stopped by having to attend to the love and the family and everything else. And she looked at me and she said, I'm lucky in love? She said, what an interesting concept. She said, of course I don't want to have anybody wrapped around my neck. Of course I want to move as freely as I can. How about you, Fran?
That's kind of frightening because as you're saying it, that's me. I mean, you know, it's great to be in love and the whole thing and, you know, you call and you kiss and you... But then after a while, I'm like, okay...
That's enough.
Yes.
Time for Fran with Fran.
Yes, it is. That's exactly how I am.
Yeah, good. So you tell them, oh, you deceived me.
But is that healthy?
You really didn't love... Well, healthy's a big word. You know, healthy goes on granola. I don't know. Healthy, not healthy. It's what people do.
Okay.
And people do what they do, Fran. And I can tell you... You sound like a lovely person to me. Whatever level that you want to love me, you just go ahead and love me. If it's at a nice distance, it's really terrific. You know, if you want to send me an apple pie, that's fine, too.
Thank you very much, Armand. I love your program. I only get to listen to it on Tuesdays because that's the only day I'm home.
Well, I'm going to do all my best programming on Tuesdays, then.
Thank you.
Sure.
And you know what? Fran is not my real name.
I know it's not.
Okay.
Of course it's not. Do you want to tell me your real name?
No!
Yeah, okay. Then you don't have to.
Thank you.
Okay, nice to talk to you. Bye-bye. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Listen, you know, my friends, I'm going to take more calls, but I'm going to hold that till a little later. So, Reggie, or hold the calls for a while. There's a reason I'm holding the calls. This is Armand DeMille, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. We have just gone through another 2 weeks of fundraising. And the fundraising we did was very, very close. We wanted to raise $300,000 and we raised $260,000. We were so close, but we just missed it a little bit. So all of us are trying to say just one more time, one more shot if it's all possible. And here it is. Even though I swore I would not do this anymore because I just don't have the time available, I'm going to offer it one more time. If you make a donation of $150 to the station at this time, and I'm going to give you a special phone number for making this, I'm going to offer you one consultation with me, a personal consultation with me. You could come and meet with me personally, sit with me, talk to me about anything. The telephone number to call is Bert, the man Bert, who has been with BAI for ages, who's a beautiful man, at 212-209-2815. Now, please use this phone number only for making the donation to the station of $150 to get the consultation with me. Don't call him for any other reason. Don't call him for complaining about something. You know, if you any other complaints you have, call my office, and we'll deal with your complaints, but... If you're going to call Bert for 10 people only, just 10, because that's all the time I got left in my life. I mean, I've got so many bookings right now, but here's what you do. You can make the donation to Bert, you know, to WBAI of $150, and you can call my office directly and say, I made the donation, can I make the appointment? And they'll hook you up to see me within a few weeks. So if you want to make it as a Christmas gift for somebody you love, you can do that. We can even fax you a note saying that you made this. 212-209-2815, my friends. I'm only going to pitch. That means I'm only going to be asking you for 5 minutes. So if you want to make your calls, 212-209-2815. This is Armand DeMille. Maybe we'll find out what it is about you that needs to lie, or maybe we'll find out what it is about you that needs to be deceived. You want to find out a little about that in person? Come sit with me. Maybe I'll find out you're a loner. 2815. Bert, 212-209-2815 to make the donation. 10 is all we're offering. And they're going to go quickly, and you're not going to hear phones ring because Bert's sitting there alone. And if you get a busy signal or the phone rings forever, call back because it's one man at BAI taking these calls. 212-209-2815. When you talk to him, you can hear a beautiful voice. A wonderful man. I've known Bert for ages. 212-209-2815. Going to take a very, very short break, and I'll be back with you. We'll go back to our programming, and then we'll take your calls here at WBAI for the radio. But if you want to get that donation in of $150 for a one-time consultation with me, we will never offer that price again. Ever, ever, ever. It is a promise. No, I won't do it. No. No, I refuse. That's it. When I say something, it stays that way. Here on in, the price is going to be a higher price because we do charge more for that, but this is a $150 special based on the economy and based on the problems that people are having and their need to get some kind of psychological help, which I offer. 212-209-2815. You can make those calls now. You're listening to Vince Guaraldi do Django, D-J-A-N-G-O. Be with you just in a minute. Make your calls. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. That was Vince Guaraldi, Django. Hey, 212-209-2900 is our number here. Now, this is not to donate money to the station. This is confusing, right? This is to, hey, Bert's going to have to know. Hold on a second here. I got an idea. Stephanie, would you call Bert and give him our office number so that after people make the donation, they could call us directly and get make the appointments. Okay, Stephanie Dombra assisting me here in the studio. 212-209-2900 to take your calls. We're talking about deception and the need to deceive and the need to the brain's need to see things that are not true. The lines are busy, huh? All right, so people are making the calls. We'll get to Bert a little later. Somebody who's hearing the show at BAI, give Bert my office number. Go over to wherever Bert is. And I know somebody there could do that, you know. And give him my office number, 212-757-4488, so people can call us. Hey, so let's go back to this need to be deceived. I know it's hard to believe it because we all want to believe we're victims of deceit. How many of us believe we're victims of, oh, they fooled us. Oh, look at what they did with the housing mortgages. They fooled us. You know, and sure they did, but there's always somebody. They did another experiment with dolphins. Listen to this one, dolphins, deceptive dolphins. Dolphins found out that there was junk that gathers around the air, the water filters in dolphin tanks. It's something like junk. So they found out that if a dolphin went and found the junk and jumped up and dropped the junk in a basket, a feeder would give it a fish, because dolphins eat fish. And the dolphins, what they learned to do is when the feeders weren't around, they took the junk out of the filters and they hid it under a rock, so that they would deceive the feeders into believing that they were cleaning the filters and they really were just saving it so they could get a fish. How about this one? How about this one about that I always loved about the, I think it was a, it's not a mosquito, it's a wasp. There's one wasp. There's one wasp, a female wasp, that will only let you have sex with her if you bring her food. And what it means is you have to catch a fly and wrap it up in a cocoon, right? If you're a male wasp, you wrap up this fly, you catch a little mosquito or a fly, wrap it up in a cocoon, and you bring it to the female, and the female sees the cocoon, and she says, okay, buddy, sex it is, right? So now these guys learned that they wanted to have sex, but they couldn't catch flies. So what did they do? They took a piece of dirt, and they wrapped it up in this little moth stuff fiber. And they said, here, I got a piece of food. And the girls would have sex with them. And it turned out that they really didn't have a fly in there. It was just a piece of dirt. Now, how many guys do we know who go around making believe that they're better than they are, that they're better off than they are, that they're richer than they are? Right? And they're just more wasps doing their thing. Deceit. Now, on the other hand, why would the female want to be deceived? Why would she want to be deceived? A very interesting thing. What about the part of her that wants to be deceived? Well, deceived this way, she has sex with more males. And this way, she can keep the species going. So a man came to me today. He called me up today, very today. He said to me, he said, you know, my wife, I think she's perimenopausal. He says, and I think she's just trying to drive me crazy. He said, because she's acting so badly. And he talked about hormonally, and he talked about how she's screaming at him and picking at him and taking things away and doing things to him. She said she's doing everything in the world to send me out so that I'll find some woman who's not going to give me a hard time, and I'll have sex with it on the side and then lie to her and tolerate her. He says, because that's what all middle-aged men do. Middle-aged men become intolerant of the women who become too hormonal, and what they do is they run out and they go have sex. He says, I wonder, get this now. He says, I wonder if this is not a survival mechanism for the species. He says, I wonder when a woman loses her eggs, if she doesn't on some level intentionally send her man out so that he will spill the rest of his seed with somebody who could possibly have babies. Wow, I thought, what thinking? What thinking? Could we be that unconscious to our unconsciousness? Oh, it's an interesting thought, don't you think? Smart people. 212-209-2900. I'm going to take your call just a minute. Secret agent man. Talk about deceit. Don't we love James Bond? Don't we love the secret people, the people who have secrets, superheroes who are secret superheroes behind their geeky selves? Batman, who's really a socialite. You know, Superman, who's really a newspaper reporter. You know, so we like secrets. We just love to have somehow. 212-209-2900. Let's take another one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Thank you for tolerating me. Good timing on the engineer's part. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
And there it is. What perfect timing. Hi there.
Hi. Am I on?
You are on the air, okay. Speaking to
Armand
DeMille.
I wanted to make a comment in reference to deceit. There's beneficent deceit, which is actually being polite in society and just ignoring something that's a slight and small thing. And then there's malicious deceit. And that's something that for instance, someone who's been defrauded. I myself was defrauded of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea it was going on. Someone was forging my signature to mortgages and deeds behind my back. And the only way I found out was the day that, you know, there was a knock on the door. So what I'm trying to point out is there is a truly malicious deceit. And I believe that's the same deceit of a Madoff person. And I don't really think that there's a tendency to blame the victim.
Right, absolutely.
And so I take a little bit of sensitivity with this wanting to be deceived.
Okay, so good. Now, what's your name, by the way?
It's Alice, but
Alice.
I assure you. Yeah.
Alice, let's take this a second.
And I'm calling from Connecticut. I'm calling you from Southport, Connecticut, okay? And I'm just trying to, because I think that what happens is when we spread these mindsets that maybe the victim should have done this, should have done that, and should have done whatever
else. Now, wait
a
minute. Wait, Alice. Can you stop a moment?
No, but can I just finish this one line? the legal system picks up on it, and it's mothers and children in the family court who suffer with the deceits of others.
Alice, did you hear me at any time blame the victim?
No, but you have. I'm not saying blaming. I'm pointing something out, which I think could be misunderstood by other listeners.
Okay, so good. Good for that. Now, let me ask you a question.
A mea culpa sort of thing, where I'm, mea culpa, and I, there really are true victims.
Of course there are true victims. I mean, there's a victim everywhere. It's in all of nature, too. I mean,
right.
There are true victims of the sparrows, the minnows who are getting eaten by fish that fraud you, a fish that's hiding in the sand, and the minnow goes swimming by, and the fish is getting to make himself look like sand, and the minnow swims by, and he eats them and kills them. I mean, that's deceit. That's natural deceit. And that's really victimizing the victim. That's killing him. That's destroying him completely. But I'm saying it's in nature. There's two sides of it.
Right.
There are two
survival.
Sides of it. There is one. It may be survival. I think it may be something else. I'm not sure. I know that it's always been this kind of Darwinian belief system. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that that's the reason.
The thing I'm concerned about is justifying the bully or the defrauder or the abuser. And we see that in the legal system.
Sure.
Where they get away with. And that's what's going on a bit here, where people go, oh, well, what did you expect? You know, that's the way it is. Well, people need to stand up for one another and say, no, it's not the way it is, and it's the way it ought not be. You know, we don't care. We don't want to be deceived, and deceit causes a great deal of
damage. Well, let me ask you something, Alice, mm-hmm. What was your position on the war?
On which war? The present war?
Yeah.
Well,
did you stand up?
Was,
did you say I refuse to be a part of it? Did
yeah.
you say I refuse to pay my taxes? I refuse. I absolutely refuse.
I don't pay taxes because I was so defrauded. The children and I were actually made homeless for a while. But the point being
But if you did pay taxes, would you have not paid your taxes in protest?
Would you get arrested? You would be arrested.
Yeah, okay, so there's where it comes. Does it get to a point where when we rebel...
Well, I can't afford to be arrested and my children not have me.
But the point, as far
as the war went, I knew that was wrong. It didn't take, it didn't make sense going there before they even voted all that nonsense in. So I don't understand the deceit of those who voted it. I mean, you can't tell me. They are privy to insider
information. So there's deceit and has been deceit all around you for a long time, and you've been deeply hurt by that malicious deceit. That
Which
has kind
one?
Of hurt you, all of it. That's kind of left you powerless, left you homeless.
Well, to be very honest with you, indeed it did for a while, but there comes a point, sadly, where people lose feelings for themselves, and it's something you don't want to happen.
Did that happen to you? Did you lose feeling for yourself?
Well, I'm talking to you in a logical, cerebral sort of, tone.
Yeah, I know, I hear, and I'm trying to bring it down to your heart.
Well, you see, that's something that only adaptation and improvement justice would remedy, because I have children to look out for, and it's, but I'm telling you.
So the way you did it, Alice, the way you did it was you shut off your feelings, you survived, you
not
had children to take
choice.
Care of.
Not
yes, of
conscious.
Course not, of course not.
For instance, this is interesting. My adrenal gland, I'm told by a doctor and endocrinologist, is just gone. It's as if I have suffered PTS to an extreme. He said, I've never seen it this bad.
Wow.
Now,
I can hear it. I can hear that in your voice.
No, but that's affecting even the warmth that pumps through your heart and your blood.
I hear it.
And it's not something conscious, because I go out of my way to help others. I would never do unto anyone what's been done to me.
Well, let me ask you one question, Alice, okay, because we've taken enough time, and I want to thank you for your contribution. But if you could say something to all the people out there who have been hurt and have hurt each other, right? And if you could say something here at this holiday season time, and you could just send out goodwill from your heart, a goodwill thing that didn't have anger in it, but you could say something from your knowledge and wisdom of what you've learned. You got one message for people?
Yes. Family is everything.
Good. Hold that sentence. Say that again and say it to me even softer.
Family is absolutely everything. If you don't have family, you have nothing.
Okay, and wait. You don't need the second part.
You need
the first part. The first
family,
part is family.
Family
is everything.
That's
a feeling you have. And thank you for being part of the WBAI family in Southern Connecticut.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Alice. Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. So Alice points out something really interesting. So let's say that there were a need for people to develop their muscle, and you had to develop your muscle, and many of us have gone through a number of frauds recently. We've discovered that the banks, and we've discovered that the banks have been fooling us, and that the car companies have been fooling us, and that people are fooling us all the time, and it gets uncovered and uncovered and uncovered. And what happens to us? We seem to lose our desire to be deceived anymore. We seem to see through it a lot, and we seem to become people who are just a little more tough and a little more realistic. And maybe that's the need for this whole thing right now, for us to kind of wake up and be a little more in the present with each other. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. 212-209-2900. Thank you, Alice. Hi there. This is Armand. Hi there.
Daryl McPherson in the Bronx. How you doing, Armand? Happy
Hello,
holidays.
Daryl. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, that's one of us that feels that way. Speaking about me, and
you're not. You don't want to hear your voice?
No, not today.
Oh, why not? You're beautiful.
Because I don't want to be here on the planet at this time.
I'm sorry.
That's
Daryl.
Why
you and I have spoken before, haven't we?
Oh, sure.
I thought so. I'm sorry to hear that. Why so miserable today? Tell me.
Because I'm not buying into the illusion right now, and it would be really kind to buy into the illusion. I think what people are missing. Can I take the Madoff thing and put it on me?
No. Can you give me? Yes. Put it on you. Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Right?
Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Oh, that's why I like you so much when you call, because you're such an honest man.
I want to put it on me.
Sure.
My understanding of the case is that he turned himself in. And if he hadn't turned himself in, then the illusion would continue. That means those charities would still be in effect. Those people would believe that they still have the money that they, quote-unquote, don't have. Now, let me switch it over to me, right? If I was willing to believe the illusion just for a little while, I could make a really great contribution to the time in which I'm living in. However, the illusion that I'm choosing to believe is that I don't want to get involved in monopoly capitalism, blah, 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 blah. Therefore, I'm not going to work. And if I don't work, and perhaps no one will take care of me, I haven't gotten to that point yet because people, for some reason, think that I'm going to either snap out of it or whatever, then I can't make the contributions, because when I try and give the ideas to other people, they won't run with them. They'll say, oh, that's a great idea, and then it sits. Oh, by the way, can I just throw one more quick thing in?
Sure, Dan.
They did a great interview with Andrew Tatarsky on drug dependency yesterday on the news at BAI. And I just thought you should be so proud.
Sure, because you know about my relationship with Andrew.
I won't tell you.
What,
but anyway, do you understand where I'm going with this?
Sure. Let me say something to you, okay, Daryl? So you're depressed, and I know you're depressed, and this is the sound of depression. Now, here's the problem with depression that faces our society. Depression unmasks unreality. See, when a person is depressed, they see through all the garbage in general, and then they see it and they say, oh, I can't handle it because it's so ugly out there. But here's what I know about you. Number one, you are verbal. Number two, you are intelligent. And number three, you communicate beautifully. So here's what I know about you. I know about no matter what you say about yourself, you are a teacher. And you may not have to preach to teach. You could just preach by your very, you could teach by your very being, by your very existence, because I've known you for years. And in the years, you have made such a benefit to so many people and done so much good for so many people that I'm not going to say you're a good guy, because you're not going to listen to it. You know, you're not going to believe if I say anything good about you, but I know you're good. I know you're a good guy. And so sure, don't get a job. The hell with them.
Yeah, no,
work.
No, but see, Armin, that's not what I want to do.
What do you want to be?
I'm acting. This whole subconscious thing is really taking me out.
Yeah.
I'm acting against my own personal interest. I know about the depression,
mm-hmm.
little B3, little running around outside, you know, really kiss the... But there's something that when I go to do those things that is in the way. And I know
And there's something saying to you, not yet. Just trust it.
Okay.
Something saying not yet. It's just a not yet.
Well,
now you can force yourself out of it, but, you know, it's not yet.
I appreciate...
I got my respect for you no matter what you do. You could always be in contact with me.
Then I will.
Okay,
all right. Stay safe, stay well, and thanks for the extra time for everybody. Peace.
Sure, down. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We've just been getting a number of calls for the phone number for Bert, and this is for Bert, where we were offering the $150 one-time consultation with me if you call the station now at the following phone number, 212-209-2815. Bert is there, and that consultation was just the one I've been offering for the last few weeks, but we're not offering it anymore after today. This is it. This is it. This is just one special to make up that little shortfall of our fund drive. That's 212-209-2815. But for right now, I'm going to take one more call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the... Hello there.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Hi, Armand. How are you? It's wonderful to speak with you today, and I love your show. I just want to say that.
And who is this?
This is Heidi.
Hello, Heidi.
Yeah, calling from New Jersey area. And I just wanted to say, like, I find your show is very interesting, and I see sometimes they relate from week to week or day to day, whatever. And I kind of see how there's a relation from this to the other one you were talking about where people play different roles, like the mother
yes.
hen and the king and things like that. And I think that we feel pressure, I think, as a people to play these roles, and people have expectations of us, and we tend to try to, you know, keep those things, we try to salvage those things, I think. And so sometimes we do things outside of the box, outside of character, perhaps, and so we try to...
Well, give me an example of that, Heidi. When were you faced with that now in your life?
Well, I actually have been clean for 10 years from heroin addiction, and I have, you know, done new things in my life, and I'm a different person today. So I think sometimes I try to cover up maybe who I was, you know, maybe why I don't drink, I don't give the full story, you know, things like that. And I think I can see how that would just be a common thing from it doesn't have to be the same exact.
Heidi, how do you like 10 years? How do you
10
like
years?
It
feels good, you know. It feels
What's
safe,
it?
I guess.
Yeah. Do you feel safer?
Yeah, much safer. Yeah.
A big difference between 10 years ago and now, huh?
Right.
So, what do you look forward to? What's your plan from here? What's next for Heidi? Heidi has done an enormous thing for herself. She got herself off junk. Right? She's got herself
yes.
off that. It's, however you've done that is amazing. Because the need to deceive is a need for drugs as well. See, the reason people want drugs is they want to deceive themselves. Because
right.
when you take a drug, you fall into a kind of a weary deceit that nothing is wrong, everything is okay. And you find that feeling of euphoria that comes over you, which is, again, just our need for deceit. What's your plan? What's next?
I think that's a good question. I mean, honestly, I think the thing is the plan is for me is not to have a plan, but just to continue trying to do the next best thing every day, because I feel that
that's a
you
great
never
plan.
Know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you never know what's gonna come, and that's I guess my point is when you go through years and years of looking at life in one way, and then your perspective changes because of a happening or you take a different road and things start to look different, and I think, you know, that's what I look forward to is what's going to happen next, because it's the unknown, you know, and it's a mystery, and it's fun.
And you're going to be dealing with it yourself, you know,
right.
with all your capacities. You know, it's not going to be another Heidi. It's going to be this Heidi who's going to be there. So I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, okay, my pleasure. Thanks for being with us. We're going to have to be going soon. This is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. Again, you know, that one donation number is 212-209-2815 with Bird answering the phones. And then we're not going to offer it after this. I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Let's kind of bring this out with some special music, something a little different for you. And I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. You could go and listen to today's show or any of our other shows at thepositivemind.com, www.thepositivemind.com. Be back with you tomorrow at 1, my friends.